thank you, brother. Isn't it wonderful to pray and just to worship the Lord freely, however the Lord leads you? It's so wonderful to do that. Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise the Lord. How many appreciates the Lord? Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. So thankful. Today, I just want to go through a few things here before we get started. Today, we started the bus ministry, and we went down to the apartments there in Benton, and we didn't pick anyone up this morning, but we seen someone there in the laundry room, and we walked in there, and we prayed with her and talked to her about the Lord, and she just began to, we just want to share this to let you know what's going on. And so we ended up in the laundry room. We went in the church van, so we ended up in there and began to witness to her about the Lord, and she began to tell us that there's people that just need somebody to come in there and just say, how are you doing? Just to say hello, you know, and it doesn't take seminary training to just go and say hello to somebody and just to check on them and just to, you know, just be there for them. And, you know, we just started telling her, you know, we're here, we'll be back, we'll be back to witness, we'll be back here, and we're just going to start holding church services there on the property. You know, if we can't bring them up here in the bus, we're just going to go down there and have church. And she just began to start crying right there in the laundry room. And it come to me just a while ago during worship that the presence of God is anywhere. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, inside the four walls. And she just, the presence of God was there. And I just began to feel the Holy Spirit telling me, you know, this is what it's about. You know, it's about showing people. It's not about having church, but it's about showing people the love of Jesus Christ. And when you show the love of Jesus Christ to people, man, He'll meet you in a laundry room. It doesn't matter where you're at, God will meet you there. And so I'm believing that God is going to really bless us, you know, in the local missions when we reach out to people. And there's a lot of people that live there that can't get out. They can't get out, and so they're there, and they have to depend upon transportation to help them. And so we really want to reach out to their, we've seen a lot of children out, didn't we? Seen children out there this morning. And we just want to reach out to the children, the elderly, whoever God puts in our path. We just want to be a blessing to them. So pray for the bus ministry. Pray for them. Pray for the ones involved in the ministry. Because it's not just taking people to church. It's about developing relationships and showing people the love of Jesus where they're at, in their own living room, in their own front yard. And that's what God wants us to do. Amen? Hallelujah. And thank God for the youth. They were on a... they went this weekend to Warrior Fest. I watched some of it online, and I know they had a good time. Seeing what blesses me is that y'all go. That's what blesses me. But also is that people get saved, and that so many young people get saved and get touched by the power of God and by the Holy Spirit. So it's always a joy to see that happen. Heard about it. Heard that a lot of youth gave their life to the Lord. And it's always isn't it always a good thing to participate in something like that, where you see so many people come to the Lord, and you're just like, yeah, bless them, Lord, bless them, Jesus, Lord, use them in a mighty way. So thankful for that. How many's thankful for people being saved this weekend? Amen. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. See, we also need to be thankful of people getting saved that we don't know about. There's all kinds of people getting saved right now. You know, a lot of us we can be limited to our own world, which is Polk County, right? Which is Polk County, Bradley County, McMinn. But I'm telling you, all over the world, God is moving. There is revival. Everybody say revival. There is revival breaking out all over the world. And so we need to pray. We could participate in that revival, that missional revival, by praying, by giving, and by participating. Amen? Hallelujah. So thankful. And I was going to make a couple of more announcements, the app, I want to tell you about the app. If you don't have it on your phone, you can install that. I believe I already said that. Also, yes, Miss Pam come to me. I thought it was a great idea. It's the Sunday Sunday after, and I'll get into the Word. I'll make this one last announcement. I'll get into the Word. The Sunday after Easter, on Sunday, we're not going to have a Sunday evening service. We're actually going to have a cookout that day. We want all the church to come together, and we're going to have a cookout at Sugarloaf Campground. How many knows where Sugarloaf Campground is? Okay, for those of us that don't know where Sugarloaf is, I never called it Sugarloaf growing up. So this is in Polk County. I always called it Parksville, or I always called it, let's go down to the river, man. You know, I'd say that, but it's over there. It's going toward, it's on the Highway 64, and if you don't know where it's at, Google is really good at helping you find out where Sugarloaf Campground is. It's not far from here. What is it, about a 10 or 15-minute drive from here, maybe? Okay. Are we going to have games? Oh, the playground. Okay. Hey, will you bring that game where you play cornhole? Can you do that game right there? Yeah, I like that game. Okay. Hallelujah. And hey, can I be on your team? Can I be on your team? Okay. Hallelujah. Y'all are going down if y'all play. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. don't have a whole lot of time to go through all the announcements. But if you want to learn more about the announcements, just check the app out or get on the Facebook page. There's a lot of announcements there, and you can check out what's going on there and be updated. And so, all right. And I know there's a few of us out this morning. There's some on vacation. Some are sick and can't be here. So we'll be in prayer for them. Thank God for them. And thank God for everybody that's here. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all ready for the Word? Let me tell you where we're going to turn. Matthew chapter 26, verse 31 through 35. And I'll give you time to turn there. This is part two of the sermon series, His Pain, Our Gain. And what he went through, the pain he went through, was all for our benefit. And it was for us to walk forward in his spirit. So as we're turning there, I'd like for you to stand with me for the reading of the Word. And the reason why I've asked people to do this, because it helps us participate in the reading of the Word, and we honor God's Word. So it's so important to know what God's Word says. And I'm so glad that it's on the screen. All right. Starting at verse 31, it says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee.'" Now, get this. He's telling them he's going to raise from the dead, right? And so you can imagine that they're all afraid, right? They're fretting. They're anxious. What's going to happen to our Messiah? And Jesus is telling them, like I'm talking to you right now, I'm going to raise from the dead, all right? And so for some reason, they couldn't get it. Okay, next verse, verse 33. Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all of you are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." How many has ever told God you would never do something? And sure enough, come right around and you did it. All right, verse 34, Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Now my heart would have dropped. Verse 35, Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you." Now, Peter, you can't do what Jesus done. You can't do it. "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." Now, we give Peter a bad rep about denying Jesus, but look, all the disciples did. It says, "And so said all the disciples." All the disciples denied Jesus. They left him, forsaken him. So don't be so hard on Peter, okay? All right, jump to verse 69, and I'll give Dennis time to turn there, and this continues the rest of the denial, of the occasion where Peter denied Jesus. And starting at verse 69, it says, "Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, 'You also were with Jesus of Galilee.' But he denied it before them all, saying, 'I do not know what you're saying.'" So Peter is actually, he's going through with this process after he told Jesus he wouldn't do it. Verse 71, I'm sorry. "And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, 'This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth.' But again he denied with an oath, 'I do not know the man.' And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you." And then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." And immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus. Okay, let's think about this. Put this in your imagination right now. He remembers the words of Jesus. I'm sure his heart dropped right there. And I'm sure the whole, any kind of guilt you could feel, I'm pretty sure Peter probably felt a lot of guilt at that moment. And he says Peter remembered the words of Jesus who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And so he went out and he wept bitterly. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you bless the word today. I can't preach the word. Only you could do it, God. And so I'm letting you know that I'm putting all of my strength, effort into you, God. Lord, trusting in you, trusting in your word. Holy Spirit, preach today. Give us revelation. Give us wisdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Could you imagine the pain that Jesus went through when we read that verse? All the disciples denied him. All of the disciples left him, forsaken him. And do y'all remember the words that Jesus said on the cross? He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And so all creation turned its back on Jesus, and he did it all for us. Now, you can imagine the pain that Jesus went through. Now, how many here has ever felt the pain, or you thought you was all alone, that nobody was there with you, and you thought, man, this is pretty bad, this is pretty painful? Now, that wasn't true. You have Christians, you have brothers and sisters who love you, but this actually happened to Jesus. He was actually alone. He was actually lonely. He was actually by himself. He had nobody allying with him. He had nobody. Man, he was alone. And the reason why he had to go through this was to bear the weight of all the sin that would ever be committed. Isn't that something? To bear the weight of all the sin that was ever committed. But the point that I want to preach preach to you today is that when Jesus forgave, everybody say forgave. Forgave. When Jesus forgave his disciples, he was teaching us the way to deal with pain. And a lot of times we have a hard time dealing with emotional pain, spiritual pain. It's through bitterness and anger, how we've been mistreated in our past and things that we've been through. We don't necessarily know how to deal with this pain in our lives inside of us. And the only way out, according to the Word of God, is to walk in love and forgiveness. One word, there's only one word that will help you to deal with all the pain that you've ever been through emotionally. When it comes to anger, when it comes to bitterness, there's only one word that we can deal with pain, and that's through forgiveness. And I'm telling you, the flesh will always fight you when it comes to the issue of forgiveness. When it comes to forgiveness, the flesh has no part, does not want any part with that whatsoever. The flesh is always looking to revenge. You did that to me, I'm going to do that to you. The flesh is always thinking in terms of retaliation. How can I get even with them? How can I get even? But we learn the example from Jesus Christ, so tender, so compassionate, so kind, so good, is that he's not seeking to retaliate. Peter, the guy we're reading about, cut a man's ear off in the garden, trying to fight back, trying to keep them from getting to Jesus. Jesus heals the man, puts the ear back on him, shows compassion and mercy, and says, "My kingdom is not of this world, because if it was of this world, my servants would fight. But I'm not going to fight you right now. I'm not going to retaliate. I'm not going to seek revenge, because I'm fixing to carry out the mission and the purpose of the Father. And as I carry out the mission and the purpose of the Father, everyone is going to be able to put on my righteousness, put on my mercy, and they're going to be able to walk free, because the Bible says, whom the Son has set free is what? Truly free indeed." And so Jesus went through all this pain, went through all this, and the flesh, let me go back to the flesh, it's always trying to retaliate, always trying to seek revenge, always trying. It is a tragedy if we see the church or our brothers and sisters in the Lord revert to the flesh or revert to the voice of the enemy and say, we need to get back at them, or because a lot of times we let the pain define us, don't we? And the pain that we've been through and the hurt we've been through becomes the filter for how we treat other people for the rest of our lives. And we have to be careful that we don't let anger become the filter or become the lens of how we view other people. Because a lot of times we let anger and bitterness define us. We begin to write people off even before we even meet them. We begin to write people off and we don't give them a chance because we let anger and bitterness overtake our lives and we don't have the right perspective. And that's the reason why Jesus, when he was on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But he also said something else. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And we have to have that same attitude and we have to have that same mindset and mentality that we are going to have to say, even though I was done wrong and even though they said these hurtful things to me, and even though I was mistreated even all the way back to my childhood, I'm going to say this, Father, forgive my father or my mother or my aunts and my uncle. Father, just forgive them. They don't even know what they was doing at that time. They didn't even know. Am I preaching to anybody this morning? We need to have that same attitude. Father, forgive them. They didn't even know what they were doing. I want to give you a few quotes on forgiveness that really touched my life, and I want to share these quotes with you. To forgive is to set a person free and discover that the prisoner was you. Not forgiving someone is like drinking poison expecting the other person to die. When you forgive, you must cancel the debt. Listen, don't spend your life paying and collecting debts. Cancel the debt. Forgive them. Release those people from it. And you'll be free. But the reason why we're still in a prison is because we don't know how to forgive people. And we don't know how to let it go and release it and say, you know what, I was hurt. There's some people been hurt by the church. How many knows that happens? Unfortunately, that does happen. And when they get hurt by the church, hurt by people, you know what you need to say? Father, forgive them. They didn't know what they was doing. They didn't know what they was doing. Now, let me tell you what the flesh will say. Well, they knew what they was doing. They knew it. They knew it all along. They knew it. But the Spirit says, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. They have no idea right now. They have no idea about causing all the bitterness and the anger. No idea. You got to have that same compassion. Isn't it the goal of the Christian life is to be what? Christ-like? If we're going to be Christ-like, we can't be seeking revenge. If we're going to be Christ-like, we can't be seeking to retaliate against people. And we wonder why some Christians today are still in a prison. They're still in a jail cell spiritually. It's because they don't know how to get rid of the bitterness. They don't know how to deal with the pain because they hurt so bad. They're hurting. And I believe that's part of the reason why some will revert to drugs and they'll revert to alcohol because they don't know how to deal with the pain. They don't know how to deal with these things. And you've got to get down. Listen, the only thing that's going to fix the pain, the only way you can deal with the pain is to kneel before God and say, God, I can't get rid of this anger. I can't get rid of this bitterness. You are going to have to touch my heart. Lord, melt my heart so that it may become like your heart. I can't live like this for the rest of my life. It's killing me. And there's so many people that will revert to these things. Everybody say temporary. They'll revert to these temporary things in order to fill the void. But you can't fill the void with alcohol, drugs. And we all know this. I'm preaching to the choir this morning. We all know this. But it can't fill the void. Only forgiveness. Only forgiveness. Knowing the true forgiveness that comes from the Father can fill the void. And we should also live like that in forgiveness. Listen, if you believe the gospel, you'll forgive. If you don't give it, you don't got it. Amen, church. I'm trying to speak our language this morning. If you don't give it, you don't got it. If you don't forgive, if forgiveness is not a main staple in your Christian life, in your spiritual life, in your spiritual walk with God, if it's not a mainstay, maybe you don't have salvation. Right? Maybe we don't have, listen, when you're saved and you truly understand the heart of the Father, forgiveness, you're willing to forgive. What does the Bible say in the book of Ephesians? He said, be kind, be tenderhearted, show compassion. This is what God has called us to do. The first thing that I see Jesus helping Peter after Peter denied Jesus three times and he wept bitterly. I couldn't imagine what was going through Peter's mind, probably a lot of guilt. But Jesus gives Peter the option to live after the cross. He didn't keep Peter living in law. Are you with me? Thank God we're not under law, legalism, we're under grace. And didn't keep Peter, but he allowed Peter to live after the cross. He allowed Peter to live that way. Listen, by holding on to bitterness, we live as though the cross didn't matter. When we don't forgive, we live as though what Jesus did doesn't matter. Because at the crux of the matter, at the core, what really matters is forgiveness, because that's the essential foundation of Christianity. You take forgiveness out, we have no Christianity. And if you don't have any forgiveness in your heart, then you don't have any Christianity. Then you're not really walking in line with the Word of God. Forgiveness. Listen, you can try to shout, holler, scream, run, whatever you do. But if you don't have forgiveness in your heart, you're just a noisemaker. You've got to have forgiveness in your heart and be willing to forgive the vilest sinner, your relatives or whoever it is. You've got to be willing to say, Lord, I'm walking in forgiveness. Then your shout will be true. Then your praise will be true, because you're not letting bitterness and pain define how you view people. Can I get an amen this morning? Another thing that I loved what Jesus did, and we're going to read the scripture too. And Dennis, if you want to get it ready, just turn to John 21, verse 15. But one of the things that I loved what Jesus did with Peter is that he didn't remind Peter of how he denied him. He restored him. How many knows that man likes to bring up things? How many knows that? Bring it right up. What you did 5 years ago, what you did to you, and bring it right up. You remember. You remember what you did. You remember that. If you'll read the scriptures, we're going to read it here in a minute, that Jesus didn't even bring up the issue. That'll preach this morning, guys. He doesn't even bring up the issue of when he denied him. Not at all. How many times have we seen people, they'll just bring up the issue over and over and over and over again. They got the disc on repeat, playing song number one all the time, over and over, and they can't get it out of their heart, can't get it out of their mind, because they're letting the flesh overtake them, and they're letting the flesh define them. They're letting pain and the pain and the bitterness and the anger to define them. They need a different view, a different perspective. I love it because Jesus restored Peter and didn't bring up a reminder of how much he did wrong. Jesus didn't pour out guilt, he poured out grace. If we never live in view of it is finished, we put ourselves before the cross. Here's my question to you: what side of the cross are you living on? When you don't forgive, you're living before the cross. You're living on this side, not after. I live in AD, not BC. Are you with me? It is finished. And since Jesus said it is finished, we've got to walk in true, total forgiveness. What kind of forgiveness am I talking about here? What kind of forgiveness am I talking about? I'm talking about the kind of forgiveness where the world says, how in the world could that Christian forgive that person? How in the world could they walk in that kind of forgiveness? You want those kind of questions asked. That's when you know you're really forgiving. That's when you know you're really, really walking in forgiveness. Because I know some of us, there's some areas in our lives where we would say this. If that happened, I would never forgive. Some of us would say that. Honest. We would, wouldn't we? Some of us would. Listen, we want to be Christ-like. We need to walk in a supernatural forgiveness. Because when you see somebody hug each other and say, brother, I'm sorry. Dude, I'm sorry. Listen, you think when you forgive somebody you're weak and you're a softy? That don't mean nothing. It takes a true man of God, a true woman of God, to shake hands and say, Lord, look, I'm sorry. I admit it. I was wrong. And I don't want us to be separated, and I don't want us to be divided, but I want us to come together. And when you see a brother and a sister or whoever, they come together and they're willing to make it right, and they're willing to say, you know what? We want to walk in true, total forgiveness. That is supernatural. That takes a miracle from God to do that, because pride is inbred in us. That's what we were born with. And pride keeps us from saying, I'm wrong. Pride keeps us from saying, I forgive you. That's what pride does. But if we're willing to walk in true, total forgiveness, that's supernatural, that comes from God. Amen, church. Amen. Forgiveness, forgiving. Some of us never see the redemption of Passover or the power of Pentecost because we don't forgive. Jesus didn't let the pain define him or dictate how he would treat others. Wow. Let's read this. Let's read this verse here. All the way to we'll read to whenever we stop. So when they had eaten breakfast, I love that. Breakfast. Okay. Jesus said to Simon Peter. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Now remember now, he's not bringing up the issue. He's not reminded Peter of the guilt and the shame that he experienced when he denied him three times, is what he said. Do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Now get this. Your love, now I want you to catch this. Your love for God is always linked to feeding other people with the Word of God and showing love to them. Did y'all catch that? Did you catch that principle? Raise your hand if you caught it right there in that verse. Your love for God will always be interlinked with your love for other people. That's what it says here. Okay, he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. So he says, feed them, take care of them. All right, next verse. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved. Okay, now, third time, you can imagine somebody keeps asking you the same question. And he says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. See, Peter had something in mind. He knew God knew everything. Right? Jesus didn't ask the question because he didn't know. He's not just asking you the question, Elijah. He's not just asking you the question because he don't know anything. You with me? He's asking the question because he's giving him a chance to be restored. He denied him three times. But three times, Jesus has given Peter the chance to be restored. And he's saying, look, I'm going to restore you. You just need to admit to me three times that you love me. And if you do, I'm going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. You're going to preach a sermon on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people will be saved. And because Jesus released Peter, because he forgave Peter, he gave Peter the option to live after the cross. And because he walked in forgiveness, it allowed Peter to be able to preach the gospel. And some of you right now, you need to follow that same pattern and that same example and say, you know what? I'm going to restore my brother. I'm going to restore them, whoever it is. If it's my dad, if it's my mom, I'm going to walk in forgiveness. I'm going to forgive my siblings. I'm going to walk in true love, true unconditional love, because I know if I forgive them and I release them, I'm going to win. They're going to win. We all win. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus gave Peter the third three times. He says, you deny me three times. I'm going to let you confess my name three times. You know what? That story there is no different from our story, no different. He's given you a chance. You was born in sin. God's given you a chance. And you know what? We say that, you know what we say? We say, the Lord won't forgive us. Did too many bad things. Look where I'm from. Look what I've done. I'm terrible. I'm full of sin. I don't qualify. Of course, who does qualify? I can't do ministry. I can't be able to serve God. If I walk in the church, the walls are going to fall in. Listen, God is not, when you go to God, he's not going to bring up all that junk. He's actually going to take an eraser. He's going to erase all those sins. He's going to say, I'm covering you with my blood. Hallelujah. Your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen, church. We think when we go to God, we're going to reap what we sow. Oh man, all the bad things I did in my past, I'm going to answer for it right now. No, that is not the gospel. The gospel is he forgets your sins and he throws them in the sea of forgetfulness. God knows what he's doing. Listen, that's why Jesus died. He died not to bring up your sins, not to bring up your past, not to guilt trip you, but he died on the cross to give you grace, to let you glory in his name. Praise God. We have something to shout about. We have something to praise God about. Listen, when you get down and out and you get depressed, you get discouraged, you just remember that you're covered by the blood. You are saved by the grace of God. His Spirit lives in you. You are a son and daughter of God. You're not a slave to sin anymore. Amen, church. I love you, Lord. Wow, Jesus had the opportunity to pour overwhelming guilt on Peter for what he done, but he took the opportunity to pour relentless grace on him. Peter was released into his destiny because Jesus gave him the chance of restoration. This morning, preaching to every one of you right now, if you're not walking in total forgiveness, listen, you come to God right now, you're not right with God, God will release you. He will save you. He will cover you with his blood. Listen, not only does he forgive, he forgets. And some of you right now are like, praise God, he forgot. Amen, church. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of the gospel. I want you all to repeat this after me. It's all in the plan. All Jesus' disciples, okay, everybody say this with me. His pain, our gain. All his disciples deny him. They leave him, but it was all in the plan. How does that parallel with our lives? How does that parallel when you get hurt, when there's things that happen that's negative, that you think is negative? Listen, God is in the plan. God is in the purpose. He's working it out. If you walk in forgiveness and you walk in love, you know what you can say? It's all in the plan. Guys, I don't know about you, but that's some good stuff. Because that's going to help you grow. That's going to help you stay rooted and grounded in the faith, because you're not letting negative things determine the depth of your relationship with God. Are you with me? You determine the depth of your relationship with God. You with me? You determine the depth. And so by not letting these things cause you to waver and cause you to turn to the side, you're going to stay straight on the Word of God and say, praise God, I'm covered by the blood. I'm walking in true love. I'm walking in true forgiveness. Amen, church. It's all in the plan. Listen, when others wrongfully hurt you and cause you pain, you need to look at it as an opportunity to show redemption when they come back to you. Are you with me? It's just an opportunity. It's not a problem. When you get done wrong, just understand the time's coming when you're going to be able to show redemption and say, you know what, I'm going to be Christ-like. And people will see that. People will get saved. People will get changed because you're ready to save. You're ready to forgive. Whatever you're going through, just remember it's all in the plan. Look at your neighbor and say, it's all in the plan. It's all in the plan. Jesus used Peter's denial as a way to show what true forgiveness is. Everybody say, big picture. You got to look at the big picture of things. Jesus wasn't nervous. God wasn't nervous. Oh, Peter denied Jesus. Are you with me? It's all in the plan. You got family members right now, they're not living right for God. Living in the world, doing their thing. Right, doing what they want to do. Listen, you pray for them and you walk in love and you walk in forgiveness, you can just say this. It's all in the plan. God will get their attention. You with me? That's called faith. That's called faith. Whatever you're going through, when you get attacked by the enemy, it's all in the plan. I'm walking in love. It's good stuff, ain't it, church? It's all in the plan. Jesus knew Peter was going to deny him. Could it be that when we fall, God is setting us up for redemption to show you and others that you can never go beyond the grace of God? You can never go beyond the grace of God. God used Peter's denial as a platform of his love and propelled him into his destiny. God wasn't nervous when all this was going on. He knew what was going on. It's all in the plan. Whatever's happening in your life right now, it's all in the plan. But you got to walk in love. You got to walk in forgiveness. Now, you can get out of the plan by choosing to be bitter, by choosing to be angry, by choosing to listen to the flesh. But you got to understand that the good, the bad, it's all in the plan. I got to walk in forgiveness. I got to be able to say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Are you with me? We can't be revenge seekers. We got to be God seekers. Amen, church. See, God wasn't nervous when they were beating his son. He knew what was going to happen. He knew third day was coming. Y'all remember that last week we preached that? You got to live in your third day. I'm living in my third day. I'm living in my third day right now. See, all the hurt and the pain, may be in your life, but your third day is in the plan too. You got to live in your third day. Third day represents new beginning, new creation. I just want to tell you this, that staying in God's will involves ups and downs, but victory is certain. When you serve God, you're going to have ups, you're going to have downs, but victory is always, always certain when you stay in God's will. Listen, it doesn't matter who your opponents are if you already know the outcome. You with me? It doesn't matter. What's the outcome? What's the outcome? We're going to heaven, right? We know that. We're going to live for eternity, right? And we get upset. We get upset and mad over things that nobody will remember about the next day. Don't we? And we actually let that define our lives. Wow. God is amazing, isn't he? What side of the cross are you living on? When you royally mess up, God will royally give you another chance. You need to change the location of where you live. Are you living before it is finished? Or are you living after it is finished? Wow. Listen close, okay? God can't redeem the regrets you don't release. God cannot redeem the regrets you don't release. And some of you have regrets in your life, and you can't go forward because you're letting the regret define who you are. Release it today. Release. Let it go. And I'm telling you, you'll walk out of here with 1,000 pounds off your shoulders. Because now you're not holding people hostage to your pain and to your bitterness and your anger. Because when you hold on to anger and you hold on to bitterness, you're holding people hostage to your will. You with me? Quit holding people hostage. Get out of the prison. Get rid of it. Be free. Freedom. Free. Imagine that. Free. You can be. Some of us don't know what freedom is. We've never tasted it. But God's going to give you a taste this morning. If you'll come to the altar, he'll give you a taste of freedom. Freedom from what? Shame? Sin, of course. Freedom from guilt. Guilt is one of the main things that tear Christians apart today. They give their lives to the Lord, but they still feel guilt. Guilt. He doesn't just want to set you free from sin. He wants to set you free from the guilt of sin. You with me? From the guilt of your past. He wants to set you free from all of that. Guess what else he wants to set you free from? Regret. Regret. Release the regret. He'll redeem it. He'll redeem you. He'll redeem the regrets. Release them. So how do you deal with the pain? How do you deal with the guilt? How do you deal with bitterness? How do you deal with anger? One word. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. How did Jesus deal with the pain? How did Jesus deal with being accused of being filled with demons? Could you imagine accusing Jesus being filled with demons? Accusing him of being a drunkard? He was abandoned, mistreated, his beard plucked, they spit in his face. Could you imagine doing that to the face of God? How could Jesus deal with that? He dealt with it. Because he knew. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, right? And he knew it was all in the plan. Are you with me? He knew it was all in the plan. And you got to trust God. And you got to walk by faith and say, you know what? I'm going to walk in true forgiveness because I know what the outcome is. And I don't have to try to seek revenge or take control, because that's the issue. It's control. Because when we try to retaliate or we try to do these things, we're trying to take control of the situation because we don't trust God enough to vindicate us. Does that make sense? Does that make sense this morning? We don't trust when we try to control people because we think we have to control people, right? Or manipulate, intimidate. It's because we don't understand forgiveness. Because we don't trust God enough to vindicate us. Listen, you walk in love and you walk in forgiveness, God will vindicate you because you're living right and you're wanting to do the right thing. Amen? I don't know how long I preached this morning, but I hope you got a lot out of this message. Forgiveness, remember that. This is what I want you to leave with today. Forgive. Release it. And some of you, when you come to God and you open up to God, it's going to feel like you're going to explode because you've had this stuff in you for years and years. Years. And it feels like your heart's just going to explode because you've been holding in the anger. You've been holding it all in. But when you confess it and say, God, you know what I go through, and I'm here to release it right now. I'm releasing the regret. I'm releasing the anger. I'm releasing the bitterness. I'm releasing it all. I'm not going to hold people hostage to my anger anymore. You with me? You're not going to hold people hostage to your anger anymore. You're going to walk in true love and true forgiveness. Amen? Y'all receive it. Let's all stand together.